Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Don't miss your chance to win $25,000 tonight playing Fox Bet Super 6. Players have won over $5.5 million in cash prizes, and there are winners every week. So scan the QR code now and pick the outcomes of 6 NBA games for your shot to win. It's free to play.
Fight back against aging. M-Drive, the supplement for driven men. M-Drive for men.com. Free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. I think it sometimes, I feel like that Damian Lillard for Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown in a draft pick or two is such an easy do. The only reason Boston would do it tomorrow, it's all about Portland being afraid. What if we get rid of Dame? You're not winning a title with him. He's a great scorer, but you have his sort of duplicate, a lesser version, with CJ McCollum, and you just don't have enough. You don't have enough talent. You also don't defend guards, so you may score 60 at the guard position and give up 52. So it's like such an obvious move. Dame, for diehard fans, they know who he is. But because he played at Weber State and now he's geographically jammed in the Pacific Northwest, he has no real national brand unless you're a diehard NBA fan. Like, dude, go play at the highest level, play in the second round, conference final. If you put Dame today with Jason Tatum, I would have Milwaukee and Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, those are two A players, a forward, a guard, 2A. Eastern Conference, Washington right now is viable. Like with one A player, Bradley Beal.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
Three NFC teams will have an opportunity to book spots in the postseason this weekend. The most straightforward scenario belongs to the team that is currently number one in the conference. That's the Cardinals, and they will be in the playoffs if they beat the Rams next Monday night.
Okay.
The win won't make them NFC West champs, so it would have given them a sweep of the Rams and a commanding lead. They have won their last two. They lost to Carolina 3 weeks ago. They host the Rams and are currently 2.5-point favorites. And I would think I would take the Cardinals in that game. The Packers will clinch the NFC North with a win and a Vikings loss or tie. With a tie and a Vikings loss. So the Packers have won the last game, but they lost to Minnesota 2 weeks ago. They host the Bears on Sunday night, which we'll talk about in a second, and they're 12.5-point favorites, according to Fox Bet. And then finally, the Bucs can win the NFC South if they win, while the Saints and Panthers lose or tie. They have won their last three games, and they play the Bills on Sunday and are currently 3.5-point favorites,
listen,
according to Fox Bet.
And there's a big advantage to this. The NFC's top end's good. The bottom of the NFC's a mess. Whereas the bottom of the AFC outside of Houston and the Jags is pretty small. Like, Jets aren't very good. There's a bunch of there's about seven bottom NFC teams that are just not terribly viable. So for a team like Tampa or Green Bay, which have been banged, Green Bay's been banged up all year to seal a playoff spot. Now you can
Cardinals
rest.
Too. The Cardinals just dealt with being without Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins for 3 weeks. So, yeah, I mean, we're at the point in the season now where the playoffs picture is really starting to become very clear.
Yeah.
And division winners are starting to separate from the rest of the pack. So it's a big weekend of games, and we could know a few playoff spots. We already know the Texans are out, but we could find out the rest of some playoff picture this weekend. So Packers and Bears face off this weekend. And Aaron Rodgers created a lot of buzz the last time they played, scoring a touchdown and screaming, "I own you," into the crowd.
That was funny.
Which I loved. But the former Packer and current Bear, Jimmy Graham, said he is not mad at him for the comment.
I mean, I've said that to almost every organization I've scored on. So, I mean, that's real. I don't know what people think is being said out there. You know, there's a lot worse I've said. So, we just got to stop them. And we got to get out here ready on Sunday, ready to play, ready to win. Simple as that.
I don't think the media sometimes, because most people in the media aren't athletic or something, maybe didn't play sports. It is, you go into locker rooms and what is said and what is done in huddles, it's raw. Like, occasionally it'll bleed over to a microphone and everybody's like, "Whoa, did you hear Aaron?" Does everybody understand what is said?
Oh, of course. That's why the taunting penalty is such a joke. The children, think of the babies. What are you talking about? If you were in one of those huddles for 5 seconds, your pearls would be clutched so fast you'd have whiplash. And that's not saying that they're like wildly inappropriate. We'll have Mark on in a second. I don't know if he's going to co-sign what I'm saying here.
Guys,
but
talk. I mean, by the way,
this is what it is.
Even the sometimes you just need to as well to create a villain.
Also, it is a collision sport.
Yeah.
And so I don't know about you, Colin, but in order for me to run full speed
and get
into
hit
another human person, I personally would have to have some sort of animosity towards that person.
You have to ramp yourself up.
Right. And it's hard to score touchdowns, which is why that's how he celebrated.
Yeah, it's like there have been times in my life, not much athletically, but there are times when you're emotionally a little out of yourself. I remember my daughter's born.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, by the time my son was born, it was old hat. But I can remember when my daughter was born, being there and be almost out of myself, like, oh my God. I mean, literally light on my feet, not passing out, but I can remember to this day feeling like, what just happened? I've helped create this amazing, beautiful little girl. And it's just an emotional, and I'm not equating anything athletic, but there, if you train for the Olympics or you train for a football game, the world's watching and you score a big touchdown late, you have a right for a second to be a little out of your body. Just a second.
No, I agree. And look, this is a rivalry, a divisional matchup, and they play Sunday night. They're 12.5-point favorites, according to Fox Bet.
Yeah, I'm
kind of getting away from the huge spreads at this point in the season.
Underdogs are starting to cover a lot of these.
I don't know if I like that underdog,
I'll tell you an underdog. Buffalo is getting 3.5 points, a must-win, desperate game for the Bills at Tampa. Love Buffalo. I'll give you a blazing 5 pick right now. Love Buffalo.
Well, criticism of Lincoln Riley has been coming in from all corners of Oklahoma.
Oh,
and
good Lord.
It's now reached
sobering.
The state legislator.
Oh, God, it's embarrassing.
So Oklahoma State Senator Bill Coleman reacted to Riley's exit by requesting legislation that will turn 3 inches of highway, 325, into Lincoln Riley Highway as a way to properly honor the coach. He said, I felt the state of Oklahoma needed an appropriate goodbye to this former head coach whose sudden departure left many in shock. I found the tiniest section of our most desolate of highways to pay tribute to Coach Riley's exit from Oklahoma football in the state. This is only fitting as this is the last 3 inches one sees before leaving our great state heading west.
Now,
the press release said that Coleman would pay for any of the signage, so this is not going to be a taxpayer type of situation, but he cited Riley's supposed lack of professionalism.
Oh, okay.
So while we're free to pursue employment elsewhere, there's a level of professionalism that is expected to be adhered to.
Let me ask you this.
From all indications, professionalism was pretty much absent in how this departure was executed.
If Brent Venables doesn't work in 5 years and Lincoln Riley says, I want to come back, you think you're going to take him?
Yes, like, of course.
It's like LeBron James left Cleveland. They burned jerseys. The minute LeBron said, I'm coming back, oh, LeBron, I can't give him my emotion. You take Lincoln Riley back in 1 minute if Venables bombs. You know it. I know it. Everybody in the country knows it. Grow up.
It's very, very petty. So
juvenile.
You know I love it. But, yeah, you look a little bit salty going this far with it. Also, again, like, it's all jokes and, like, you know, we're laughing, kiki-king, whatever. But this is his job. This is his career. So there's nothing unprofessional about pursuing another opportunity.
Let me throw this at you. Nick Saban's the best college football coach ever. Mm-hmm. It's the number one program in the history of college football. He bailed 3 years early on the Miami Dolphins. Bill Belichick is the best football coach in the world's history. He was offered the Jets job, accepted, then resigned on a napkin. The two best coaches in the world both bailed on their job sort of unprofessionally. In fact, Kim Bocamper is a former Dolphin player and a television personality or radio at one point. He said, you know, his quote was, Wayne Huizenga made a lot of money in waste management, and Saban's maybe the biggest piece of trash the Dolphins have ever had. That was his quote. So just know that the two best coaches, college and pro, lacked, quote, integrity.
No, Nick Saban, if I don't want to misquote, I believe he specifically said, I am not taking the Alabama job.
So I just want you to know that, Oklahoma, when you get stomped by Alabama, that guy had no integrity, but your guy did.
I mean, we've talked a lot about it. It is absolutely nothing to do with integrity. I know there's a lot of emotions involved. There's a lot of these big triggering words like loyalty and integrity and professionalism. Oh. And it's like this character assassination.
From people who have never been offered good jobs, they all have the morals and the values I wish I had.
Quite frankly, I don't want those morals. I have things I'd like to accomplish in life. I really would like to have a full-time driver, so I'm working towards that.
Ooh,
that's
a good idea.
Yeah, there's just like that and, you know, consistent private plane access is basically all I'm working for.
Wow.
I don't have children or pets, and all my plans have died.
That driver thing, I'm going to get on that today. Excellent work. Joy Taylor with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Would the person drive you to work too?
Oh yeah, I mean,
home
I don't,
work.
I don't like. I like my car. I love my car, and it's a nice. Every once in a while, it's a nice cruise. It's fine, but like not having to worry about actually driving, looking for parking. You go out on the weekends. You just come out. They're right there. I mean, that is the life of luxury. I gotta have it. At this point, like, what am I saving for?
Really? What are you saving for?
Yeah, just me.
It's a good call. Let's bring in Mark Sanchez, Fox Sports NFL analyst, 10 years in the NFL. We could go college football for an hour and a half, but we have to.
Can I send in my application?
By the way, you told a great story on this show.
Can I send you my application?
Absolutely.
Summer internship.
Accepting applications.
Well, you've told the great story to me before on my podcast about you stayed at Trump's place for free for years.
Not quite for free.
Good discount rate.
Now,
did you have a driver?
I mean, not 24/7. I mean, where do you want this guy to sleep, by the way?
No, I mean, when I sleep, he can go home. I'm saying, but like, when you ever you have to go somewhere, lots of people have drivers, especially in New York. A lot of like executives in New York have drivers.
I'm just curious.
Like, yeah, I mean, Joy makes it sound like you're on call.
You'll be compensated very well.
Yeah. Okay.
Mark, be compensated very well.
I'm gonna
send. Okay.
All right.
Benefits, health benefits.
Yeah.
I don't want to get too crazy. There's tax people listening.
Okay, so you did the Jags Rams. I said this. I don't need Cooper Kupp's your volume receiver.
Yeah.
I don't need 9 targets to OBJ.
Right.
But I do think it's something in back-to-back games he's had a touchdown.
No doubt.
I think it's something.
It's something. What do you say? It's something. It's not everything.
That's right.
So I think, I know for a fact the fade that he catches back shoulder, that's a run. It's a run all the way with a fade tag. And Stafford, the veteran that he is, knowing, hey, this is going to get this guy juiced up. This is for aesthetic reasons, appearance reasons. I'm going to throw this ball. First down, second down, so what? We're going to punch it in either way.
Yeah.
Let's try and get him a catch.
Yeah.
Right? And he throws him this beautiful back shoulder from the, one-inch line or whatever. But that kind of stuff, it's clear he's aware. He's cognizant of, hey, get him going. Sometimes those guys need a touch.
That's right.
Just in the first quarter, snap it to him. Hand him a reverse. It doesn't matter. Just get him the ball and let him run. Let him do his thing. Let him dance in the end zone. Whatever it takes to get him going because he's that good. And if you need him on third down later, if you need him late in the game in the fourth quarter, when you need him in this stretch run, just get him going. So it was the right move.
Lions Broncos is this week.
Mm-hmm.
You have that. And, I was saying this with Jared Goff. I said, listen, the bottom line is Detroit's got some – their draft picks the last 2 years, they're all kind of playing.
Mm-hmm.
So they've drafted pretty well. I'm like, I'm just going to live with Goff for a year. And I'm fine with Jared as long as he has a fairly clean pocket. Like that final drive of the game. Mark,
14 plays, Mark, 75 yards.
I watched every. I was like, that's a big boy drive.
That's a legit
Zimmer's
drive.
Zimmer's a very good defensive coach.
A great defensive coach. And he dropped 8 on him. He pressured him a little bit. Like he was mixing up looks. So that wasn't easy. That was.
No, you just talked about this.
Especially with that group of guys.
And that pressure of, we're winless. I thought that was a great last drive.
He did awesome. I mean, I don't know what else you could say about it. It was perfect. It's just you want to see it on a more consistent basis, and it's hard to do that when coordinators change, when the lineup keeps changing, when, he's,
right.
he's I mean, he doesn't have this roster that the defensive coordinators are staying up all night worrying about.
That's right.
Who are we going to double? How are we going to mix up a look here? How are we going to stop this? That's not really the case. It's like, okay, slow down the big tight end and make sure DeAndre Swift doesn't run all over us and watch him out of the backfield.
Yeah. The good news, though, they
that's
got
hard great, for a quarterback. That's like,
yeah, you know, Mark, that's hard. They've got a great young tight end, a great young running back.
Oh, yeah.
I think Brown's probably a two, not a one. That's my guess.
He's more of a slot.
Slot.
Yeah.
But I do, when I look at them, I'm like, they're going to score points here.
Yeah. They'll be fine. They'll be fine. They got, here's what I know. At this point, the team hasn't bailed on them. The players haven't bailed on them.
That's clear.
Right? Like, defensive coordinator, legit, Glenn. Offensive coordinator, they're working through it with the head coach and Mark Brunell. These guys are legit players. We're legit players in their day, and they have the respect of their team because this team fights, right? They've been in one possession games quite a bit.
Yeah.
They took Pittsburgh to the wire. They took they made a storming comeback week one against the Niners. We had that game. So, I mean, they threw everything at the Rams and gave them a run. So they're competitive at times, right? They're in a drive to go win the game, and Jalen Ramsey picks it off, remember, against the Rams,
yeah,
because of Aaron Donald's pressure. I mean, those are two all-pros, potential Hall of Famers that he's playing against with a team that doesn't have that. So Jared's facing an uphill battle, but nobody's quit. That's the most important thing. And, you know, they Deuce Staley's their running back coach.
Yeah.
I was with him in Philly for a couple years, and he's one of my favorite of all time. Just steady, level-headed, has a great perspective. And he said, we got guys that'll fight. That's all we want. We want to see. He's like, we know where we're at. We understand we're at the bottom of the league and we're working our way up. But we need guys to buy in when it's going to get hard. Because it will get hard.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough year. But I need to know who's with us. And that team, they look like they're riding with them.
You know, I was saying this the other day to Nick Wright. I said, both Saban... Smart people get smart people. They can sense it. They can hear it. They can feel it. So Saban and Belichick have almost never whiffed on their hires. I mean, sure. Saban has gone through seven offensive coordinators. He's yet to miss.
Yeah.
McElwain, Nussmeier, Sark,
yeah.
Lane, Bill O'Brien. He's yet to miss. And he's a defensive coach.
Oh, yeah.
Similarly, I can't remember the last time, like, Belichick had to fire a hire. Okay, so... Now,
that's fair.
Both coaches leave and they don't succeed at a very high level. Here's my theory. Is that both are super intelligent guys
right.
And smart get smart. The hiring process is great. They almost never whiff. But you can't take intelligence because in the average day for a football coach, there's 18 to 25 decisions.
Right.
Got to get about 92% right.
Yeah.
And so when these people leave Belichick and Saban, you can take a lot of, you can take schemes with you. You can't take the daily decisions with you. And that when I watch Belichick, you've faced him. If people could copy what he does,
yes.
They would.
Yeah.
They can't because I think he's intellectually, take me to when you face Bill. He obviously did stuff, Mark, that nobody else is doing 20 years into it.
I mean, I just remember one of the, like the fake game plan. So when you play him once in the year, early in the year, and then you play him again like we did with Jets versus Patriots. So we played him early, beat him. Next game, go up to Foxborough. I think we lost like 38 or 40-something to 3. Right? Just got just mollywopped.
Your first miserable day.
It was bad.
And different looks?
And so the game started, and I'm like, we're in the same game plan. Oh, we're going to shred them. Let's go. Couple drives later, totally different. Dropping down a robber safety. Ball's going the other way. Like, I was like, whoa. What just happened? I thought we were getting this. We planned for this. We
so
got that.
In your head.
So now we're like reeling, trying to switch back. What do we do? You know, I mean, he's special, and he throws that little wrinkle in. But most importantly, what he's – they said it on Thursday Night Football, McCourty, who's been there forever.
Yeah.
He said, we know the deal. We're not going to win any games until we learn how to stop beating ourselves. I think he's so special in the way he can convey that message to players. Whatever it takes. It's old school mentality. It's probably not everybody's favorite way to learn, but he's going to beat it into your head until you know it and until you do it. And if you don't do it, you're gone. And if you're getting towards the end of your career and your age might keep prevent you from doing it, you're gone. I'm not signing you to your last contract. I have specific principles that I will live and die by, and that's it. I'm going to play those percentages all the way home, and I will win most of the time. And that's really disciplined. That's really hard to do. But they just don't turn it over. They get turnovers.
Very few penalties. Yeah.
They just, that's who they are. And I think a lot of it, too, is their practice schedule. The way they're set up is, you know, a lot of teams run a lot of plays. Running plays is good to learn a system, maybe in the first year. But you got to constantly work situations. And everybody I know that's been there, a lot of teams do this now, but he was one of the ones that really started it. You watch all these scenarios all around the league, onside kicks, two-minute drills, good two-minute drills, crappy two-minute drills, you know, sudden change situations, this new taunting penalty, all that stuff. There's like a daily brief of all that stuff with the entire team, watching certain plays as an entire team. So everybody knows what's going on. And you didn't want to be the person who screwed it up. You don't want to be the person on Monday who screws it up. So, and then having the awareness to go around the entire league, like games that you're not even playing that team. It could be Denver and Atlanta. And look what they did on this two-minute drill. This could happen to us.
So he'll bring other teams.
I'm going to show this to you. We're going to walk through this. And maybe during an eight-play rack, so eight plays in a an offensive period, on play six, he'll just stop the drill and go sudden change. Boom, here's the situation. Bam, throw it up on the scoreboard. Go. Offense, call a play. Defense, call a play. What's up? What are we going to do? And you either do it right or you don't, and then you correct it right there. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's constant.
Very actionable. Reminder.
Yes, and the game is just broken down into a million situations. Who's going to master the situations, and then who has the recall from their Rolodex of those situations that they've already practiced to apply it?
You know,
that's what it is.
You know, the most brilliant moment in Belichick's career was the Super Bowl against Seattle. And New England had it won. And then Russell Wilson completes kind of a ball down the sideline. The curse.
Yes.
And there was mayhem. And everybody thought Belichick would call a timeout.
And he let it roll.
Even though they were in a little crisis, Belichick just stared Pete down and said, no, we know the plays you're going to run.
Yeah.
And Pete's over there going, he's waiting for Bill to call a timeout.
Sure.
And it was a moment of, no, we've practiced crisis. My guys know exactly what you're going to do next.
It's like the ultimate war of attrition with that guy. Like, you're going to flinch first. You're going to screw up before we do. That's all we have to do. We're going to outlast. If it comes to somebody outlasting somebody else, I trust my guys that I prepared them to do that. It's impressive. It's impressive.
All right, more with Mark in a second.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. Check out Discover. They match all cash back you earn into your first year. Discover.com/match. All right, Mark Sanchez, of all the NFL predictions this year, I massively whiffed on one. The Arizona Cardinals, I had them for fourth. They're the best team in the NFC. Are you surprised?
Before the season, I would have said yes. Now, after covering a couple of their games, I see it. And it took a little time to build. Remember, it's the third year in the system.
That's right.
Well, for the offense, but for the defense. So for Kyler, that's huge.
What do you mean?
The players they acquired, huge. The quarterback they went out and got in Colt McCoy. I mean, shout out to Colt. Yeah. He won what, three or four?
He won two of three. But that's
two of three?
And a big rivalry game against the Niners.
I mean, that's like on the road against the Niners. So that's why you have a legit backup, right? He's got to get you out of a jam. He's a closer, you know? And he did it, and he nailed it. He played great against the Niners. So, and that was without DeAndre Hopkins. So
let me ask you this. So third year, Cliff and Kyler. Mm-hmm. So when you work for a second or a third year with a coach, do they add more to the playbook?
It's I know where you're going, and it's more of the just like when you're calling a game, the play-by-play guy gives you the who and the what, and you have to say the why and the how. As you graduate knowing a system, as you learn more and more, you got to know why and how. And most importantly, when. When do we run these plays? How are we going to formate this play? Why do we run this motion? Oh, it's to get a half-man advantage so this guy can pick or rub, whether you're defense or offense, this other player. Now I know these answers to these questions instead of who, what, go play. Okay, why, how, when? Why is he calling this play? What's the play caller's intent, the play caller's purpose on this play? Is this a completion play?
So as a rookie, you don't sense that?
Not as much. I mean, Mac Jones, he's got a sense for that. Not many guys do. It's so important to know the reasons, because when you get the call, the situation dictates, sometimes can overrule the read, right? It on paper, it's 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5. But the situation tells you, you're not really looking at one. Let's speed it up and get to 2, 3, 4. Because if you start with one, you'll never get to four. But if you start at two, where you probably should, based on down, distance, time on the clock, situation, red zone, goal line, short yardage, backed up, all that matters. All that really, really matters. And you can tell he's starting to see that. He said it in a production meeting. He's like, I know why we're calling stuff. I know how we're going to reformate that play and use it in 3 weeks. I'm anticipating calls. When he says it, I get it. And, I mean, that's huge. Colt getting him out of a jam. How about the defense that has been together for a while now? I mean, Jordan Hicks is so underrated. Vance Joseph was just glowing about this kid because he's got like 2,000-plus snaps in the system. I mean, he gets them in and out of everything. He's going to the line of scrimmage with multiple checks at all times. That's a lot of work. Like a guy like Jonathan Vilma used to have to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, but not every single game. You know, when they got, he tells great stories about the Super Bowl they won, the Saints versus the Colts, and all the checks he had to have for Peyton Manning and the different sets and check when they check and
all
that.
People don't understand.
I mean, that is like, that's a lot of work. And then you got to get them to line up, and now you got to get them to execute. And I mean, you could throw a bunch at them. But if they can't do it, you're just going to get run up and down all on the field all game long.
I asked Jimmy Johnson one time, Joey was here. I said, what do you look for more than anything? And Jimmy said, intelligence, not talent. He goes, I can be the world's greatest teacher. If you can't absorb it, I'm wasting my time.
I mean, their special teams has put them in great spots. Shout out Jeff Rogers. I mean, those guys have done a great job in all three phases. They're missing their coach on the road at Cleveland. Fine. Coach and quarterback coach, so the play caller was new.
Great point.
You know, like, they've overcome some adversity.
Key people,
and they've overcome this adversity, and it's just gotten them tighter and tighter and tighter. They're without J.J. Watt. They're without DeAndre Hopkins, A.J. Green. Boom, tighter and tighter. When everything could have come unraveled because of Kyler and the last play against Green Bay on Thursday night, they're fine. They stayed tight. They stayed strong. So they're good.
Good stuff. Former USC Trojan. They have a new coach. Maybe you've heard Lincoln Riley. You should try him out. They're going to score like 45 a game. Is that ethical? I don't care. It's, you know what? Integrity, morals, none of that stuff.
We don't worry about that stuff.
Fight on. All right. I want to thank Mark and Nick Wright and Joel Klatt and Joy Taylor and Ryan. And nobody gets hockey scores like Ryan. We'll see you tomorrow. It's The Herd.